As Sharon said, I'm Kat Kimmel. Thank you all for having me here with you tonight. Just a few months ago, our church did a sermon series in which we invited people to ask questions that they have about faith, about God, about church, whatever. Anything was open. And so one of the questions that we got was, where do I find God in the everyday mess of life? And so here is my response to that. How many of you here have ever played the game of hide and seek? One, two? Yeah, a few more. So whenever I go to North Carolina to visit my family, my nephew's very favorite thing to do is hide with me from everyone else. The only thing is, he's really not good at it. He's constantly giving himself away, declaring to me as others are looking for us, they'll never find us. He giggles, he even screams in delight as the searcher gets closer to where he is. He hides so that he can be found. And we do it again and again and again. We hide and we laugh and we pretend like we'll never be found, that we are bursting at the seams for someone to find us. And the delight on his face when his dad or his pop-pop or grandma pulls back the shower curtain or peeks behind the chair is almost more than his little body can handle. In our text tonight, the prophet Isaiah offers us the image of a hidden God, or a God who hides. An image that can be a little disturbing, one that many of us may connect to as we look around this world and wonder, where is God? But Isaiah's image is not one where God is hiding away from us so that we cannot find her. Isaiah's image is not God who hides from the people of God, but for the people of God. In Isaiah, God hides and works through a king who does not know who God is in order to free God's people from years of exile. Isaiah shows us a God who hides, a God who sometimes hides from us as she works in, around, and for us. And because I love this image so much, I hope you all will allow me to play around with it just a little bit. The thought of a hidden God, I will say again, can be unsettling. But for a moment, just for this evening, I'm going to ask you to indulge me. I'm going to ask you to imagine with me that perhaps God hides not to get away from us, but for the exact purpose of being found, for the exact purpose of freeing us from all those things that separate us from God. So I want you to imagine with me that we are playing a game of hide and seek with God, making our way through several of the metaphors and similes that God uses to describe God's self and God's nature throughout Scripture. First, everyone knows a great hiding place is under the table. But somehow, we rarely look on top of the table. Maybe it's just a bit too obvious. Here, we find bread. Sarai mixes together 3 measures of flour to make bread for visitors of her and Abram. God sends bread to the Israelites as they are wandering through the desert. Jesus breaks and blesses bread, calling himself the bread of life and calling us to remember him each time we take of it. It is a symbol of hospitality, of being filled of life. Bread brings us together, breeds relationship, and it reminds us of our humanity. God hides in bread, inviting us to the table with sweet aroma, warmth, and a promise to fill our hungry bellies. God hides in bread, coaxing conversation around the table and forming new relationships among us. God hides in our bread and brings families and old friends together time and time again. Do you see her? Smiling at all those with her around the table, God hides in the bread. And I would venture to say God hides in all of our food every day, delighting in feeding us, delighting in us feeding one another. So next time you share a meal with your family or your friends, look for the God who calls himself bread, the God who feeds us. Now, let's venture to another favorite hiding spot, those dark closets. But this time I'm going to ask you to turn on the lights and take a look at all of your clothes. In our very first attempt at relationship with God, in our own attempts to hide, we find a God who seeks us out and covers us in love. God clothed Adam and Eve as they left the garden, protecting them from the elements of their new world. And God covered them in clothing in order to cover the shame that they felt at their nakedness. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." God doesn't just clothe us with fur or skin or whatever it is that covered Eve and Adam. God clothes us with God's own self. What if each time we were to put on a different shirt or jacket, we remembered the God who sought out those first humans and responded to them in love? What if each time we put on a pair of pants or gym shorts, we remembered our baptisms? What if the act of putting on clothes reminded us that we wear Jesus on us everywhere we go? Let's think about it just a moment more. Clothing, it's intimate, it's close up and personal. It covers and it protects, it shapes us. God comes so close to us sometimes, like clothing, that we forget God is even there, loving us, molding us, making us into new creations. As you get dressed in the morning, think about what your clothes say about you, how they make you feel, how they allow you to move and express yourself. As you put on your clothes, think about the God who knows you, who knew you even before you were born, who wonderfully fashioned you in your mother's womb and continues with you now. Now let's follow the sounds to where we might find God next. I hear laughter echoing from the stories. God tells Abram that he will have a child way beyond the age of ability. Abram falls down in laughter. And when Sarah, who is, by the way, around 90 years old at this point, hears this, she laughs too, with good reason. And then getting into the whole thing, God tells them to name their son Isaac, which in their language means let him laugh. God laughs with us at miraculous new life. The Psalms depict God as a God who laughs at injustice, promising to make all things new and all things right. And it doesn't take much to imagine Jesus with his head thrown back in laughter at a dinner party with friends. Perhaps you have experienced a bit of God's grace and redemption in laughter with others. As you laugh today, look for the God who shows up in laughter. Now we've looked under the table, finding God in the food we eat. We found God hiding in our clothing closet and in the echoing laughter of Abraham and Sarah. But you know, it's always important in a game of hide and seek to look in the most obvious places, because it's in those places that one can hide in open sight and not be seen. So for a moment, I'm gonna ask you all to participate. I'm gonna ask you to take a look around at one another. I'm gonna wait until you do it. Humanity. In the words of Eugene Peterson, God put on flesh and moved into the neighborhood, taking on all of our humanity, living in this world, loving and experiencing love as well as hate, laughing and crying, eating and drinking, inviting table fellowship, and even dying. God came into humanity and into each one of us so that our neighbors begin to be a place where we can see and experience God. Those we love to be around and those who are more of a challenge for us, God is hiding there. Can you see him? It seems to me that the metaphors God uses to describe God's self are instructive for us. Perhaps it is not those powerful acts and Shazam moments where we most find God. Instead, perhaps it is in the most ordinary parts of life that God hides, shows up, delights in, and most longs to be. We anticipate God's presence in the miraculous, and God says, "I'm like a shawl around your shoulders, the loaf of bread that fills your stomach, a bird that protects her nest and eats from the dirt of the earth. I am with you when you do the laundry and when you take your kids to school, when you're cooking a meal and when you're cleaning the dishes." And perhaps that's the real miracle. While you're looking around at your neighbor where God hides and reveals God's self regularly, take a moment and breathe in deeply. I'm gonna wait again. Yes, breath. God breathes into Adam's nostrils and gives him life. God breathes on the dry bones of Ezekiel's dream so that they might have life again. And in Isaiah's vision, God breathes as a woman in labor, birthing new life again into all of creation. Here, God is at work using each breath, all of our breath, to bring about salvation for all of us. Do you feel the presence of God as you breathe in and out? It is in you and in all of us. Life-given beings. Something as ordinary as breath, God uses to speak of salvation for the world. So as I thought about the God who hides and reveals God's self in all of these ordinary places, I wondered where others might find God, and I asked some of them to tell me. And here is what they said. "I experience God and salvation through sharing my brokenness with my friends and family, through serving others and following the steps of Jesus. I experience God when I sit still and when I'm doing 100 things at once. I feel like I experience God every moment because the people I share life with show me God. I feel like I finally got it right." Another said, "When we were children, we were taught that God is everywhere, but as adults, we seem to have forgotten that. In the past few years, I've tried to cultivate an internal attitude of relaxing in the presence of God as I see and go and do the ordinary things of life. The world of nature is of great inspiration to me, as it contains nothing that man could have possibly made. Grass, flowers, birds, rocks, etc. So I glory in God's creation alone." And another, "I experience God through nature. It's hard to explain without sounding like a hippie, I'm always fascinated with nature and how it works with every creature, bug, plant, tree, how rivers and land masses are created, and the oceans with no telling what's at the bottom of them. All kinds of stuff. I think that everything on this planet is connected and we're not able to survive without one another. We need each other. It's God's plan. So it's always amazing to see another animal caring for a different breed of animal. That is God. I don't believe this all happened by chance. Everything on this planet is unique in some way. No two are the same. That is God. Last year, our UBC youth group joined another in the Delta. And one of the games that we played was a sort of backwards hide and seek game. So everyone had to close their eyes and wait for one person to hide. Once that person was in position, everyone else went to find him or her. And once they were found, the next person would hide along with them. This group is challenged to be as quiet as possible so that no one else will find them. But you know, it never really works. The more people that go missing, the more you can hear the hushed giggles and whispers of those behind the ping pong table or the crammed closet. You can see the shuffling feet under the curtain, or someone might just knock over a candlestick. And maybe this is a little bit more accurate than our original hide and seek game for the image of the God who hides. Maybe as God hides and more people begin to find the God who gives himself away in all the ordinary things of life, maybe God will no longer be able to hide from you or from us. Maybe as we begin to find the God who hides all around us, we'll begin to give her and ourselves away. My hope is that we will give God away, becoming with God like little children who giggle and whisper or even yell out our hiding places for all the world to see. Amen.